My name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. Welcome back to the Mindset and Me podcast. On this week's episode, I'm joined by the amazing Harriet Sweeney, the founder of Dandy Wellness. There is so much that I can tell you about this new platform that is really shifting the mold into what we expect wellness to be about, what imagery we've been shown, and how we've been sold product. I really think it's going to be a super interesting episode for you. So welcome to the show, Harriet. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm so glad we are finally catching up. Harriet and I have known each other for, I'd say, a year now. And I have really been lucky enough to see the behind the scenes of this incredible company being developed. And we will get there. But I think I really wanted to invite Harriet on the podcast. First of all, she's created an incredible company and we'll talk about that. But also the drive behind it and her story, which I know we all love to hear. So I guess, Harriet, over to you. I want to know how this was born, why this was born, and I guess like the point of difference that people can expect.
Yeah, well, I suppose really, I mean, talking about wellness journey, mine started in my 20s. I had a really difficult time, I'm not going to lie. I think a lot of people say that their 20s are really hard to navigate, but mine, you know, really was something else. You know, I'd had a lot of childhood trauma I hadn't dealt with, you know, had really bad anxiety, bouts of depression, and I did everything in my power to sort of suppress that in every way. So, you know, I was a real party girl in my early 20s, and then I really went into my career, but anxiety and depression just seemed to be a running theme throughout all of that. And I think sort of the back end of my 20s, I really sort of went into spirituality and wellness. And I think the biggest thing was that throughout my journey, I felt very alone, felt very misunderstood. People around me didn't really seem to understand what I was going through, you know, close family, friends. And so I had to do a lot of research into how I was feeling and kind of figure things out for myself. So I suppose through my own pain, I found power and I really wanted to help women in their journeys because it is so complex being a woman. There's so much that we have to contend with. And I really just felt like I wanted to help women in that journey. So that was really kind of my reasons for setting up Dandy. But I think in terms of your question, point of difference, I really wanted to create something where it was a digital sanctuary. It was something that women could feel comfortable, you know, not judged. I think, you know, I've been in the health and beauty industry for 10 years. So I know what it's like, you know, you have these skinny white girls there. And it's just not really reflective of women in society, particularly British society. So that's what I really wanted to do, was to create a platform where women come to feel unjudged, really feel at ease, understood, you know, provide all the information that they need in order to help them through the various life stages, because we do have many. And yeah, just, you know, really be reflective and be inclusive of women in society.
I love that so much. I think to reflect and talk about firstly your 20s, what was the catalyst? Like, what was the moment? Because I feel like everybody has this moment where they think something has to change.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a series of things, to be honest.
I'm there with you, I get it.
But it really started, I mean, my anxiety and my depression really started sort of my mid-20s when I was in a really emotionally abusive relationship, let's just put it that way. And so, and I think I kind of initially just sort of thought that that was in correlation with that relationship. And then after that relationship ended, the anxiety was still there, the depression was still there in parts, and I was still making the same mistakes and, you know, in choosing men as well, and just not really valuing myself, having really low self-esteem. And I think particularly with depression, it's suppressed feelings. And I actually, the big turning point for me was during COVID. I just had terrible sort of mental health problems, was just feeling horrendous. I really turned to wellness. I just thought, I can't do this anymore. Went for therapy and just everything changed for me. So yeah, it was a series of things, but I would say probably that relationship was the starting point for me.
And then kind of when you're in your journey, you said that therapy really helped you, but I guess as well from like the wellness perspective, what was it that really stood out for you? Or, you know, because I've been in those dark moments where you wake up and like every day is like, now I have to have that whole day feeling the same, and you kind of count down to go to sleep and then you can't get to sleep and then you wake up and it's the same thing. So I guess what were some elements within that journey that really helped you, for someone who might be listening now who's, you know, experiencing the same sort of pain?
I mean, I suppose therapy is such an important part of that. And the reason I say that is it helps you with your self-awareness. And for me, I just think that everything is rooted in self-awareness. That, you know, one thing I will say in my 20s is I, you know, made a lot of mistakes. I did hurt people in certain aspects. And it is all rooted because I didn't really know myself. I hadn't dealt with my traumas. And I think anyone who comes into anyone's lives, it's the same thing. It's all a level of self-awareness. So with therapy, it really helped me understand myself, understand my triggers. You know, we all have dark days. We're all a work in progress. So for me, it's just kind of understanding myself, understanding my triggers. So if I have a low day, which I, you know, always will do every now and again, I know how to handle that. I understand my triggers. I understand what's causing that and how to kind of get myself out of that. Because I think what would happen a lot in my 20s was I would spiral so quickly because I was on a permanent level of just low. So then when I had a particularly bad situation, I would spiral very, very quickly. As now, it's like I'm still going to spiral slightly, but I can bring myself back to the level that I need to quite quickly. And that's helped through therapy. And it's other things, you know, it's journaling, it's affirmations, it's, you know, meditating, and, you know, it's all part of wellness. So, yeah.
I think that was really amazing what you said as well about, you know, self-awareness and spiraling, because wellness has this real kind of place of being, you know, Pilates before 5 a.m. and your green juice. And actually, it's about your internal well-being. It's about how you function and managing your nervous system and all of these other elements that are not, you know, they're not glamorous. It's not aesthetic. Actually, what it is like deep internal work. And so I think it's amazing to say that and share that. And I guess in those moments, I say this maybe selfishly, my wellness routine, should I say, changes with the seasons and weeks and daily and depending on what I need. But one thing that has been poignant for me, obviously, is meditation. And I'm curious to know if meditation is within your wellness routine.
Interestingly, it's not. The only time...
Harriet, get off the podcast. Bye.
Right. Okay. So in terms of meditation, the only time I can meditate is after yoga. I would bend more into yoga. So if I've had, you know, 45 minutes of Ashtanga and then afterwards I can meditate because I've kind of calmed my nervous system. But in terms of just sitting down and meditate, I can't do that because my mind is going a million miles an hour constantly. So that doesn't necessarily work for me, but it doesn't mean that it can't, like, that it can't work for someone else. I think it really is about trial and error with wellness, and it is, there's so many different elements to it, and people, you know, certain things, journaling works more for me in terms of helping my mindset, but it's very interesting what you're saying about, you know, the wellness industry, and it's all about these juices and getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's just not feasible. And I think that's the other reason that I wanted to set up Dandy, is because it is about balance. You know, we are all work in progress. We can't all be perfect. One one of my editors did an amazing blog article that it's like the problem with that girl culture.
I love that.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, all these girls are getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and they're all skinny and, you know, white and they're all having these juices. And it's just not reflective of in my opinion, of the industry, because really wellness is within everyone.
And also, it's like too restrictive. So, you know, you have to work with your own circadian rhythm. And I've said on this podcast before, like, come 3 p.m., I may as well be like asleep. I'm completely useless until 5 p.m. again. So in that time, I'll either go on a dog walk or I'll lay and do nothing. And that's totally fine. But to say that everybody needs to get up at a certain time, it's completely different. And also, it's like, a lot of people have kids, or like, you know, my dog, I don't have an option. The first thing I have to do when I wake up is go on my dog walk, or she will just tackle me until I take her. So like, I don't have that option. So that's basically a pore in my face or something like that. But I love it. But it's just interesting what you said about meditation, because I'm trying to change our thought process around what meditation could be. And I know you on many levels, Harriet. And, you know, you do so much walking. And actually, walking in nature and going around the parks is meditation. It's just not this traditional Eastern view of it, right?
Uh-huh. The thing is, I go for a long walk through Regent's Park, and then I go to this amazing studio called House of Wisdom, and then I can meditate, but I will do some breath work or sound therapy. But in terms of just sitting with myself, maybe that's something within myself that I need to look at. I can't just sit with myself. I normally need to have some kind of form of exercise or something that calms my mind before I do it. But it's like I said, you know, it really is what suits everyone. And I remember you saying to me, actually, every morning you should wake up and ask what your mind, body and soul wants. And that's exactly what I do every day. So, you know, some days I might wake up and think, I'm so tired, I need to have a lion today. Like, that's what my body needs. And then other days I might be like, you know, my mindset's not great today, so let's do some journaling. It really does. It differs with each person.
I love that. I think I'm actually going to talk about this like matrix that I've developed for the, God, it's not as complicated as the matrix. It's a diagram. Why am I like making it sound so much better than it is? But for that, to be able to create like your habitual mindset around it, because without having like some understanding, you know, you can't get into like neuroplasticity. You can't get into this new way of thinking, which actually is a way to change your wellness, right? So, you know, get excited. That's coming soon. Really exciting. Actually it is. Yeah. But I really want to touch on the piece of you and just like how hard you worked. Like, obviously the company's live now, but we worked together in a coaching capacity in your pre-launch phase, kind of from like idea to initiation. And so I'd love to talk about that for anyone who's thinking of launching their own company or wants to get into wellness.
Right, okay. So,
you're like, buckle up. It's a ride.
Yeah, it sure is. When I first started, I knew that I would need help. You know, I'd already been in therapy. I always saw myself, particularly in business, as very capable. You know, I had a very successful business in the health and beauty industry, very high pressure. So I kind of always felt like I was ready for that. But I know that I needed to mentally prepare myself as well. So that's why I contacted you about coaching, and you helped me through beautifully. But I really was tested in ways that I wasn't expecting. And it was emotionally testing. You know, all of these, how do I explain it? I felt like I was being tested by the universe, and all these things that I had suppressed, you know, in childhood, and everything was coming to the surface. There was a point where I was actually having night terrors. So I was waking up in the middle of the night, and it was kind of, you know, reoccurring themes of rejection and you know, things like that. So the emotional turmoil I found myself in at points. I was really challenged. But I think what was interesting was sort of beforehand, I felt like I'd always emotionally been kind of just low. And, you know, with kind of some highs, but generally quite low. And then if I had, you know, something bad happen, I would spiral quite quickly, as I've said before. But what was really interesting is that I had these amazing moments where I was sort of onboarding these brands that I could only dream of. So I would have an extreme high and be so happy. But then from that, you have to kind of come back down, don't you? So I would then have an extreme low. So I really did feel like I was on an emotional roller coaster. I mean, bless my friends and particularly my family during that period, because I think I was it was difficult being at that point. It's hard. It's very, very hard work. And I think even after launching, you know, you do have this sort of chronic concern and worrying, and you know how it's going. And I suppose when it is your own business, it's all consuming, so I'm constantly working, it's constantly on my mind. I think I don't want to scare people, but I think even though it's emotionally challenging, I've seen so much growth in myself, and so I'm really happy and proud that I've done it. Regardless of all that, it's been worth it. So it's hard, it's bloody hard, but it's so worth it in the end.
What do you think is like the biggest lesson that you took from that stage? Because I remember we were working together as like in a nice coaching partnership. And I mean, I know certain things that you said, but like what do you think is something maybe that you check in with yourself next time if you were to do it again?
I think one thing that I do regret is not enjoying the good moments while I had them. And I know that's been quite a few times. My personality is I'm constantly thinking about the next thing. What's the next milestone I need to reach? What do I need to do? And in terms of business and success, it's good because it keeps, you know, I'm very driven. But I often kind of don't enjoy the moment. So I kind of wish that I had celebrated the wins more. Even though emotionally I was, you know, this feels amazing, that feels great, you know, I wouldn't go out for cocktails or go celebrate with friends. I'd be like, right, okay, I need to go do the next thing. So that's one thing that I really regret, is just kind of not enjoying the moments as they were coming in.
Yeah. I think that's like such an amazing lesson as well, because like you'll know my style of coaching is like super reflective and just really trying to encourage people to be reflective, and it's not in our nature. So we're in this like constantly like goal-driven society that you have to be like earning more money or living in a better place or going to these places or buying designer clothes. And actually, like, what about all the cool things that you've done? You know, so one thing I told you to do, I do for myself, is write down your wins like in the back of a notebook. And then whenever you're kind of like having these wobbles, you go back to it and think, no, actually, I have done all of these things by myself. Like, you must remember that as well. You took this idea and this concept into creation, and it was your vision.
I think that's exactly it, and you'll be pleased to know I am still doing that, Kirsty.
Good, great.
I have been a lot more reflective and kind of, you know, if I'm having a particularly bad day, just kind of going back to those notes and thinking, God, look at how much I've achieved, and whatever I'm going through at the moment is just completely insignificant because I've got so much going, you know, I've got so much better things going on, and look how far I've come. I really do try to do that, but as you say, we are in a kind of a goal-driven society, and so it is really easy to forget those things.
Totally. So talk to me about the concept of Dandy, because I'm obviously going to link everything in the show notes, but it's the most amazing brand. I mean, aesthetically, it's like incredible. Well, I remember you showing me like the mock-ups and the just the fonts and like, what do you think of this? And I was like, it's unreal. I'm very jealous. But, you know, behind all of that, like the story and the meaning of Dandy.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the reason that I really wanted to create is that I just saw a gap in the market, particularly for British society. I mean, we have Goop and Poosh, but they're, you know, they're by celebrities. So already you kind of have this unattainable angle because it's from a celebrity angle. And I think that's very reflective of the health and beauty industry. And obviously the fact that I've been in it for a decade, you know, I'm very aware of how they advertise and the messages that they put out. So I really wanted to change that narrative. But I also wanted to maintain the premium side of the health and beauty industry. And kind of integrate it with the wellness industry, because I think what often happens with the wellness industry, it's very sort of green and pink. I mean, I know that Dandy is green, but it's a gorgeous sage green. But it's sort of, it's very, I don't know, it's seen as woo-woo. It's not seen as premium or luxury. So I really wanted to kind of bring that in. And so it would appeal to women. But I really wanted to focus on women in British society. And also women. So when I was setting it up, I had a lot of pushback. What about men? You know, should you be a bit more inclusive? And I was like, well, what about men? You know, no disrespect, I love men. But, you know, there's a lot more that we have to contend with as women, and we have our life stages. So that's one thing I really wanted to focus on was, you know, the life stages from menstrual to motherhood to menopause. And I really wanted to make it a one-stop shop. So, you know, you've got your online shop where you have all of the products that you have access to, they're all premium quality. So I'm predominantly only dealing with brands that are female-founded, you know, really concentrate on efficacy. But I also think it's the the educational piece. So, you know, having the editorial blogs on there, eventually we're going to have more kind of pieces with experts and that kind of thing. And then in time, I want it to be a directory. So it will have, you know, listen to these podcasts, meet these experts, go to these events, that sort of thing. So I really did want to make it a one-stop shop, like I said, one place for women to come to for their wellness and just make sure that it's, you know, a really enjoyable experience. So yeah, I really was about the aesthetics and wanted to make it, you know, really sort of high end, but also reflective of society.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it is that, the imagery that you use. Also, the pieces that you write and the contributors are writing, like, really amazing thought pieces. And I think it's super high quality content.
Yeah, I've been so fortunate. I mean, I've had all these amazing women that have helped me through this process. And yeah, my contributing editors are all incredible. And it is predominantly women. So it really is focusing on women. So yeah.
Oh, it's honestly, I do think it is absolutely amazing. Are you allowed to like tell a little story about the name?
Great. I love this story.
So I spent, you know, all sort of spider diagrams. I need to think of a name. I can't think of anything. And then one day it just kind of came to me and I thought, oh, that sounds good, but we'll see what happens. I had a bit of pushback with Dandy, particularly from the older generation. Oh, it's going to be, you know, it's about men that are really flamboyant and, you know, take care of that image. And I just thought, well, for me it's fine and dandy.
Interestingly, same.
You know, I was kind of thinking about the name, and then honest to God, Kirsty, it was showing up everywhere. The universe was sending me a message. So I'd be watching the news and then the name Dandy would be coming up, or, you know, I'd be watching a TV programme and the Dandy would come up. So I was like, okay, I think that's a sign that I should go. So I decided the name Dandy, applied for trademark, and then I had basically threatened court action for the trademark by the Dandy comic.
I still remember this day, Harriet, because you voice noted me just like, you will not believe what has happened. I remember where I was, like, when, because I was just flabbergasted, like, what?
That was not a good day for me. I just thought, this is a message from the universe. I'm not meant to hang Dandy, blah, blah, blah. But I decided, no, I really like this name. I think, you know, I'd already done all of the branding around it. It was looking incredible. I just thought, no, I'm going to fight Dandy. But one of the stipulations that they had was that I couldn't sell sex tools, which for me is just, you know, it's a huge part of wellness, and it was just so archaic in their approach. So anyway, I actually negotiated all myself without lawyers, and managed to
what a boss
win Gandhi. Yeah, so
it's amazing.
That was my first kind of test.
Also, again, but like, don't downplay that. That's huge. I think if someone threatened me with court action, I'd be like, okay, you can have it. I'd be like so scared. And you were like, actually, no. You were like, I love this name.
I mean, I will say my family are all lawyers, so they did advise me slightly.
Yeah. You're like, I did it. It's fine.
Learned to fight. Yeah. So, argue, let's say.
And it's quite worth it as well. It's amazing, honestly. And so I'm just intrigued to know how you're feeling now. You're post-launch, you're kind of in it, you know, you're seeing the day-to-day, you're managing your social team, your warehouse. How is it for you? How's it going?
It's very interesting. I think after it launched, because I'd spent so long, you know, I'd spent a year working towards that, and I was doing it full time as well.
Yeah.
And so it kind of, by the time it launched, it was like, okay, now it's a completely different angle, really. It was a bit, my body just, I mean, to be honest, I'm not going to lie, I reached complete burnout. And so my body just kind of shut down initially. I'm back up and everything's good. But I think it's really interesting to see it from a different angle. And so now, rather than trying to launch the business, it's like, right, okay, how can we get more customers in? How can we drive in traffic? It's a lot more creative, which I'm really enjoying as well. So, you know, the social aspect of things. So I have an amazing social team. You know, I've got the amazing warehouse. I've got PR. You know, I've got the SEO and technical. I've got all these amazing contributing editors. So I've got such an amazing team behind me, and they all really, really want to make it work. So, yeah, I'm really fortunate, but it's still challenging. It's going well, yeah.
Oh, it's going really well. And I'm going to share all of the details in the show notes. Make sure you are all following Dandy, all go on there. And also, like Harriet said, you have actually selected some of the best brands. Like, I got a gorgeous, like, crystal eye mask from Dandy. And there's just, like, brands that maybe you've not discovered. And then when you see it, you're like, why has this not been in my life the whole time that I've existed? So it's great. I love the brands you've handpicked. I think they're really... It's not the same brands that you see everywhere all the time. So I love that.
Yeah. So I think in terms of the brands, I mean, I do a lot of shopping. So I'm very kind of...
Same.
I know exactly, you know, all the trends and all the brands and stuff like that. I really wanted to concentrate on sort of niche brands in the market that are luxury, premium, really. I prefer that word. But yeah, so I was so fortunate. I put a list together of kind of brands that I really wanted to work with, and I basically got all of them. And I've been so fortunate that they've kind of believed in my vision before I even launched, because, you know, if I was a business owner and I was a brand, you know, I would think about those sort of things. So I've been so fortunate in that aspect. So yeah, but more amazing brands to come as well.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Oh my goodness. This has been amazing. It's so nice to like see the behind the scenes of brand founders. I'm always really intrigued because sometimes I just feel like I'm peddling away on my own, and actually like we're all doing this, but no one's really talking about behind the scenes. So I hope this has been a good insight to anybody listening. I always like to end by asking, what is your mindset hack? When you're feeling a little bit out of sorts, you need to come back to yourself, what's one thing that you do?
I mean, I think I've said beforehand that I always journal. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
For me, my mindset has, it can... How do I say this? It can sometimes be very difficult. I can have very overpowering negative thoughts. So generally,
yeah,
a real godsend for me. So if I'm feeling like, you know, I've got all these negative thoughts and I'm kind of spiraling in my mindset, and, you know, the journaling is always my go-to. I always sit down, you know, for half an hour, write down all the positives in my life, you know, all the things that I've achieved so far, you know, how my day's been. I'll also write down, you know, affirmations for the day. That's my real go-to. That's my mindset hack.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing. And honestly, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You have been an incredible guest. And yeah, I'll speak to you soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Oh my goodness, I hope you enjoyed that so much. Harriet is just amazing and she has been on such a journey. Honestly, when we worked together in a coaching capacity, the behind the scenes, how hard she worked to get it out to launch. So please do go and check out Dandy. Make sure you connect with Harriet as well. She's so lovely, Northern, of course. And she's really created an amazing product. So you know what part of the podcast it is. It's time for us to get really comfortable, really cozy as we go into this week's mini meditation. And I want you just to take a moment to notice how you're feeling right now. While you're craving this stillness just for these few minutes. And just take a nice deep inhale before we close the eyes. Nice deep breath in. And as you exhale, I want you to put your hands on your heart center and just slowly feel the body relax and let the eyelids fall heavy. Drawing in some slow breath. Body to relax. Just let go of the tension or things that you're holding on to right now. Maybe stress or worries, maybe heartache, maybe pain. And we just allow everything to leave the body. We acknowledge where we are today with no judgment and no expectation. We are here and dedicated to our practice. So let's just enjoy these few minutes together. Noticing where you are today. Slow breath. Gentle breath, breathe in now deep into the belly. Maybe the hands can move to the belly or relax. Nice deep breath in. And exhale to relax. Just to bring forward today, just a feeling or a word that you can keep with you as you leave this meditation. I never like to lead with one. I want you to find that for yourself. But as an example, it could be anything from hope, love, care, compassion, bravery, courage. Whatever that might be, I want you to just absorb that feeling all the way into the body, breathing in as you do. Breathing out to let go. Staying with this motion for as long as you need and keeping this word with you. Maybe after the meditation, even write the word down. Thank you so much.